Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 13. Romans 8:13. We are reading from the Authorized King James Bible. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. It is good to be back here again once a month. I wish it could be more. And may God's peace be with all of us here. It's so good to know that there are people in this soon to become the first of the first world countries. You know, Singapore is very ambitious. Everything that they do must be done well, and then from success to success. In the midst of all this, I say, let us be faithful. Are you faithful? My topic this morning is on rejoicing in suffering. And if I were to ask you, did you have a year that is past that was free from suffering? Yes or no? You know it. Anyone can put up the hands and say, my year is always good, no suffering. I think almost all of us can say, no, we didn't have a good year. There will be suffering. If you don't know this, I'm telling you. The mere fact that you grow older is suffering, you know. Because when you grow older, and is there anyone here who is growing younger? When people say, hey, you look younger, that's a lie. It's only flattery. No, we all are old, growing older by the day. Not by the day, you know, by the minute, by the second, every minute. We all are growing older and growing what? Towards the grave, all of us. And is that not suffering? So, the theme for our consideration this morning for all of us, and it is a good theme because it tells us that in the midst of suffering, we have great hope and that we can rejoice. We can rejoice simply for this one fact that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that alone and none other can give you the confidence to face suffering, and not just face suffering, but in the midst of suffering, rejoice. You see, there's a paradox, isn't it? You know what is a paradox? A statement that is the exact opposite of the truth is supposing to tell us. Yeah, exact opposite. Rejoice in suffering. When you get beaten up, then you smile and rejoice. There's contradiction. It is a paradox. And the only way we can at any time rejoice in the midst of suffering is because we have a greater hope beyond the suffering given to us by the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who came to suffer for us. Isaiah 53 is well known to us. Yes. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. He opened not his knife, his mouth. And for us he suffered without a murmur. What for? In order that he may buy us back to himself and make us his very own. How did you become his very own? Ephesians chapter 1 tells you, you became a child of God and became an object of his special care because God the Father chose you. God the Son, Jesus Christ, bought you. And God the Holy Spirit sealed you. It's all here. When you sing this, you can rejoice in the midst of any suffering because this is true. Our Heavenly Father is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, more than you ever thought possible. He can do it. Why? Because you are his very own. You belong to him, just like any father here will never allow that child of his to be neglected or to be in any peril or danger or to perish. Why? Because that child is your very own. Now, dear friends, we coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, looking to him, receiving him by faith, and that moment you become a child of God, his very own. From that moment, you are under his special care. Wherever you go, wherever you are, at any time, throughout the day, 24 hours, 365 days a year, you are an object of his special care. Suffering? What is the reason for the suffering? Unless it is your fault, confess it and make right with God. But if it is suffering, sickness that comes your way, aging, suddenly you find you are no longer as young as before, and you are worried, sing this. His very own. Today, what is your problem? Do you have no problem? I say, wonderful. But don't trust in the year of the pig. All these superstitious and heathen ideas, whatever they are so worried about, whether to be in this zodiac or that one, which animal is lucky. All those things are heathen. And there is no basis. Our only basis is that we are born into the kingdom of God, not into the kingdom of pigs. Do you know? The one who brought us this song is a Jew, Dr. Sachs. And we have been blessed ever since he brought this to us 2 years ago. He came with a fracture and he preached and he stayed with us 5 weeks. Now, last year he was coming and he was detained because his wife had a heart attack. But he came now, last week, very well. Both of them look younger and stronger. Tonight, he preaches at Calvary Pandan, Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, 6 p.m. Don't miss him, please, because he may not be back again. And his preaching is different. You see, all of us hear only from Gentile preachers. Tonight, you're going to hear from a Jew. It's different. When you get a converted Jew, he sees things and he talks things different from a Gentile. I'm a Gentile, you are a Gentile, you know. So come tonight. It's so good now. Homework. Verse 18. Are you ready? Coming to the God, to the Lord's house, must be ready to do also some brain work. Verse 18. We're going to memorize this. So important. Verse 28 is well known. I'm sure you all know it already. For all things work together for good, that one we all know, don't we? Now verse 18. You ready? Verse 18 of Romans 8. Ready, everybody? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Once again, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Once again, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can we all say it without looking down together? Try it if you can. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now take this home and sing it together with this and see if God is not going to change your life. Now, let us look into this verse. I reckon. Who said so? Paul. You know, Paul was called to a ministry of suffering. And whenever he suffered, he was blessed, because he knew the one who called him to the suffering was fulfilling what he was promised. And I say, all of us here should be ready for suffering for the Lord. If need be, we do not choose to suffer, but when the time comes, if any of us should suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, what do? Rejoice, because we know we are in the center of God's will. If God calls you to a ministry, to a distant place, for example, to a foreign field, and there you are. Today I saw some missionaries from Cambodia, right, in the place where they are still in the dark ages, 30 years behind everything else. And you live in third world conditions. You live in very primitive conditions. You suffer a little physically, socially, inconvenienced, all these things. When you know that because you are being used of God for the gospel and you suffer a little, what do? You don't grumble. You don't say, well, born loser, I'm losing every day. Other people are so well off, I'm here. No, not at all. Paul says, because God has called me to a ministry to tell the good news to all those who have not heard, and he promised me suffering. Then you can say this. Can we all say it once more before we leave this verse? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, let's look at verse 16. To make this verse credible. Yes. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If there is anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, I say, take heed. Please, if you suffer for whatever reason and you are not yet a child of God, this verse is for you. What verse? 16. Please see. Even those who are children of God, this verse is for you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits. We are the children of God. When you have become a child of God, God becomes your Father. You have an assured future. You have an assured security. You have an assured glory to come that is promised to every child of God in a day to come, yet future, that is for you. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Wonderful. There is a day coming when God will restore even this whole created earth for our sakes, that we may in that day be glorified together with him. Verse 19 is where it says, pay attention please, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature. Now for creature, read creation. We read that again. For the earnest expectation of the creation. What is the creation? The earth that we live in is what is referred to now. This earth that we live in waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Meaning to say, this whole earth is waiting for the great day of redemption. of the sons of God. Now today you say, we are redeemed. Yes or no? Of course. We are redeemed creatures, bought by the precious blood of Christ. But that redemption is not yet manifest. Now this verse says, the whole, verse 19, the whole creation waits to see what is the manifestation of your redemption. This is, of course, a figure of speech. Paul is thinking in terms of the creation being able to express itself. The whole creation is waiting to see what will be the result of our coming to church, our believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, our receiving His cleansing power, our being renewed and be born again into the kingdom of God as children. Now, what it will be, we do not know yet. But it is promised in 1 John 3. Turn quickly there, then we shall know what it is talking about. Alright, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Right, this is the manifestation of the sons of God. What will it be? Today we are the same as the world in as far as you can see. Verse 1 of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is what we are talking about in Romans 8:19. The creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, back to 1 John chapter 3. That we should be called the sons of God today. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Now, the key verse is verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know this, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now this is a wonderful transformation that will come to you as a child of God on that day of His appearing. That is why we are so uplifted, so concerned, so gripped by this wonderful thought. The Lord is coming. Now, when the Lord comes, this change will be a wonderful thing that we will all receive. What is it? The manifestation of the sons of God. When you and I will be changed into His image. In a moment, in an instant, all of us will be transformed to be like Him. Verse 2 again, please see. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. In what way? All your sufferings today will be over, once and for all. For that one reason, we rejoice in suffering. When you suffer for righteousness' sake, when you grow old, when you have sickness, when you have accident, disappointment of any kind of suffering, when you recall you are a child of God, when you recall and remember the Lord is coming, for what? For me. The Lord is coming for you and for me. And on that day, it says here, we shall all be changed. We shall be made into His likeness. Not physically, but constitutionally. Our whole systems will be changed, renewed, never to die again, never to be sick again, never to want to sin again. The old nature has been renewed, changed, taken away. This is the promise of our redemption. This is what the whole creation is waiting to see. Today the world is waiting to see what will be the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, now, because the creation itself also shall be delivered. Now this is something most wonderful. What does it say? Pay attention, please. This is very amazing. Verse 21. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now what do you mean by all this? I want to read this verse to you again. Verse 21. The creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, into the glorious renewed status of the children of God. What is it? Today, the creation that you see around us, the world, scientists are very worried about one thing. Global warming, change of weather. Well, now that is only a minor worry. But tsunami, earthquakes, flooding, all kinds of disaster. This is a world under curse. And this world will be renewed, although we do not have details. But here it says, verse 21 again, the creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What is the bondage of corruption? Why is the world today in such a turmoil of physical disasters that we cannot prevent at all? Why is there the flooding, the typhoons, the hurricanes, earthquakes? All this is a creation gone mad, gone funny, under curse because one man sinned, Genesis 3, and he brought in sin, the curse, sickness, sorrow, pain, suffering, thistles and thorns, and sorrow and pain in childbirth. All these things are described in Genesis chapter 3. Now, since then, the world has not got better. It's just getting worse and worse. Verse 21 says, this creation will be renewed again. When will it happen? When the Lord Jesus returns. For that, we will be part of that new world, new earth that God will renew for us. Verse 22. Alright, please follow. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that's waiting for the redemption of our bodies. The solution to our sorrowing and suffering today is not in better health care. Singapore is very advanced in health care, about the best in the world today. You think, well, England must be very advanced. Let me inform you. When you go to England, you will not get the medical care that you get here. In Singapore, almost every woman who goes for childbirth has a specialist. In England, they have only midwives, no specialists. Do you know that? As a general rule. We here are going through a great uplifting. But the suffering is still with us. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we who know that we are redeemed, saved by the blood of Jesus and made new creatures, even then we are not free from the suffering, but we are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. With that knowledge, we may rejoice every day, dear friends. Turn now to another passage of scripture that Paul has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 tells us just what we have recited a moment ago in Romans 8:18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. When Paul says, I reckon the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, please let us compare. Sufferings of this present time, how long can it last? What kind of sufferings can you go through? Must be compared and weighed against the glory which shall be revealed in us shortly. Sufferings versus glory. Sufferings in the physical body can last not longer than your lifetime, which is but a moment. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 17. Your light affliction is the sufferings we are talking about. Now, that is but a moment. A lifetime looking backwards on your life, 80 years to me is but a moment. Now look at verse 17. Your light affliction, your suffering is but a moment. But because you are persevering under the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting for His coming again, this works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That glory is coming in the transformation of our bodies, that we will be like Him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Verse 18. So, in your suffering, look not at the things which are seen. Don't look at your suffering. Look at the future. Look at the Lord Jesus. He suffered to bring you life eternal, and He's coming to give you that transformation and the new life. Verse 18. Look not at the things which are seen. Your suffering, your sickness, your aging, your disappointment, your accidents, all these things, these are things which are seen, is but a moment. But look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary. Time will pass. Our suffering will go. Your present suffering will not last forever. Job tells us this, his experience. And Job's example is the best example I can quote you. If you kindly turn now to Job's book of Job. Three passages give us greatest hope. Job, who has suffered as much as Job. Suffering was not a stranger to Job. In one day, he lost everything he had. 10 children, all his possessions. And he was reduced to nothing. And he was sick, and he sat on the ash heap, and a picture of misery. And his three friends came to console him, but in the process, they criticized him and they attacked him. Now what does he say? Job's book, chapter 13. Alright? Here gives us the greatest hope. Job 13, verse 15. Now listen carefully. What Job says applies to someone here, maybe. Applies to all of us. Job says, in my physical weakness, and I'm covered from head to foot with boils, and my life is almost gone. What does it say? Job 13:15. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, I'm in my suffering, terrible suffering. No one has suffered as much as Job. What does it say of the Lord? The Lord was with him, and he says, even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That is more than rejoicing. Next verse, please turn. Job chapter 19. God opened his eyes. The Holy Spirit illumined him, revealed to him the great day coming for all of us, those who are suffering because of sickness and age. Verse 25. Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives. Even though I am in this horrible state of sickness, I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. For all who are worried about aging, this is the verse for you. I know I have a Redeemer who lives. He saw Jesus Christ risen from the dead, victorious over death and the grave, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth, verse 25. And though, verse 26, even after I die and worms destroy my body, yet there is a day coming. He will renew my body. I will be resurrected. I can rejoice in the midst of my sickness and my suffering, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom, verse 27, I shall see for myself. Amen. Now one last verse from Job, and that is the next chapter, verse chapter 23. A great verse to encourage those who are in the midst of suffering and testing. God is testing us, even in the midst of suffering. For what child does the Father not love? And God loves us and chastens us. Verse 10, He knows the way that I take. God knows your sorrows. God knows your sickness. God knows your burdens. Yes, nobody knows your burdens. In your troubles, when you are faced with insoluble problems, look at verse 10. My Lord knows the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The testing and trial of a Christian is more precious than gold and silver that perishes. For God will test you and try you through suffering. Why? Because He loves you. For God chastens those He loves. For whom He loves, He chastens. And suffering may be part of the refining process. How long will this refining take? Why is the refining so painful? It's like gold. Those of us who are under sickness, it can be very painful. Or any other kind of suffering is very painful. But remember, God loves you. And in the process, He's testing you. What for? Why is He testing a believer? In order that He may purify you, sanctify you, that you will remember and to cast your care upon the Lord and allow Him to purify you even by the fire of testing. And as the fire burns, you suffer. But you know, in the refining of gold, it is the fire that refines the gold. And when the fire is hot, it is painful, but all the impurities of the gold disappear. Eventually, pure gold comes out. And when you know when is the testing over, the refiner will look at the gold. When the refining is complete, all the dirt will be removed. Then there's pure gold left when the refiner can see his image in the gold, because there's no more dirt. That refining process, that suffering is complete. That's complete. Now you understand verse 10. He knows the way that I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God has His purpose. When we understand this, we are His own. We are His very own. God is testing me even with my present difficulty. Whatever it is, you know it. When you trust in Him, you say, Lord, you know the way I take. You know I'm trusting in You every day. I'm walking with you. And it says here, when he has tried me, when the testing is over, I shall come forth as gold. The testing has its value and purpose. When you go through testing, do not complain, but rather rejoice. In the year 1946, this is something that comes very close to home, even to this very church, to the very founding pastor, Reverend Timothy Toh, who is my brother. March 1946. God took away the most important person in our family, Mother. Mother was 54, and after 5 days of fever, God took her. That was the most painful blow, and I was 20 years old, and I could not understand. I say, Lord, why me? Why Mother? Why? Because there are 8 children, and to take away the mother must be very, very cruel. And every day, pain and tears just swept over me. Same for my brother sitting there. We could not understand. 5 weeks later, his daughter died. 2 deaths in 5 weeks. What was the reason? God is testing. Trying. The fire of testing is painful. As for my brother, he had given his life to serve the Lord. Full time. Consecration. Follow the Lord. But at that time, during the Japanese occupation, he had gone into a course of study for law. And when the British came back, 1945, 46, he registered to study law in Middle Temple in London. A complete change from following the Lord, serving the Lord, became a prospective lawyer. 2 deaths caused him. His own testimony you can read in my son of my mother's vow. Yes. 2 deaths woke him up. And according to his testimony, God tried me. And at that time, when I saw my dead baby, I saw the world as a burning ash heap, worth nothing more than the ashes. Why was I going to London to study law? When God tests, there is a purpose, dear friends. If God is testing you, do not be disappointed. Do not be discouraged. Do not be disheartened. Do not give up. Ask God, what is the reason? There must be a reason when God tests a child of His. For whom the Father loves, He chastens. With the second death, and a great revolution inside him came. And he realized, and he turned back. No more to study the law of man in London. Instantly, that idea was demolished. Now to study the law of God in Nanjing, China. From there to Faith Seminary, America. God's testing and trial has a purpose. For that one movement, through 2 deaths, came study of the law of God in Faith Seminary. Dear friends, ask yourself if God is testing you. As for me, my test was at the revival meeting of Dr. John Sung. Yes. Mother took me to the meeting. And there the challenge came. Young man, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 1938, I gave my life to serve the Lord. And He has called me also in a different way from my brother. But because of that event, death of mother, death of daughter, came the Bible Presbyterian Church. Do you realize this? Do you follow? For if my brother had gone to London and come back, he could have been a prosperous lawyer, possible, or some kind of great man on earth, possible. But because of that testing, that kind of sorrow, that kind of realization, what is the worth of this life? What are we doing with our life? What are you doing with your life after you promised to serve the Lord? Now you're going to become a lawyer. Is that your promise? Is it God's plan? Is it God's will? Turning to the Word of God, the law of God. Today we have a Bible Presbyterian Church, which is a witness to the truth of God in 5 continents, 40 countries, in Singapore, Malaysia, and all around the world, and us here today. Trace it back to that suffering. Suffering has brought forth this church for the purpose of God, for the salvation of souls, for the glory of His name. Rejoice in suffering. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. May this word speak to someone today. May it speak to you. You are worried because you are sick. You are worried because you are worried about the future. You are worried because of death. You are worried about something. But in the Lord, know that He is with you and He is testing you, and therefore we have reason to rejoice. Though your testing seems long, in darkness He giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. How can I rejoice in the midst of suffering? I can rejoice in the midst of suffering because I know it is God's hand. Because I know the Lord is with me in the midst of suffering. Because I know that out of suffering, God is going to do something good in my life. Yes. The promise is here because He loves me and I love Him. I must love Him because He has given me this new life. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knows the end of the of each path that I take. Yes. Don't run away from the Lord. He knows your path. The Lord will send chastisement and He will turn you back. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now may the love of God the Father, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship and illumination and communion and instruction and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and until we see our Lord Jesus face to face. Amen.